have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you'd come any good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national championship.
Welcome, everyone, to the first episode of The Boardroom. This is Maddie coming at you, super excited to kick off our first actual episode of The Boardroom here on the Boardroom Podcast. If my voice sounds a little bit familiar, that's because me and the rest of the gang joined Robert the other day on We Love No Other, the flagship podcast. So me, Sam, John, Josh, the other hosts will be coming at you maybe once a week, twice a week. A little bit of basketball talk, a little bit of football talk. Ultimately, you know, we're going to talk Illinois, but we just want to entertain you. Want to make you laugh, maybe cry a little bit, and just, you know, talk some Illini. So I'd mentioned the other day on We Love No Other how we wanted to sort of carve out our own little stake in the Illini world, the Illini podcast world. Obviously, you get your news, you get your takes, you get your recruiting from lots of places, and we don't want to be that, you know, that newsy source or that recruiting source. You know, you know where you get that from. We sort of want to use our spin on it as, you know, we're 25-year-old recent Illini grads. We have a pretty good beat on things, all things Illini. We're pretty fluent in the Illini Twitter world, amongst other things. So we are really excited to bring you content, bring you some laughs, bring you some good times, and kind of our own spin on it. So joining us today on our podcast, a little switcheroo here, someone you know very well, the one and only Robert. Robert, do you want to tell us kind of where you are right now?
I want to tell the whole story is what I want to tell.
Go for it.
There's a little tag while you were doing that intro that makes it even better. So so first, we tried recording this on the phone, and my wife was still awake. So I went into the back bedroom, which is far from the router, and my phone kept locking up. And so then I've got to like, okay, well, I got to go find somewhere. So I went outside, but it's too cold. And I needed to be near the router. And so I decided to get in the hot tub, which I literally...
No, we were this is a 4D experience.
Okay, good. So I literally get in the hot tub because it's the only way to be A, close to the router, and B, warm. And I'm sitting here, and you guys are doing this, and we're getting the intro ready, and Matt starts the intro, and I see my wife just go to bed. So I could be anywhere in the house right now. I could be sitting in the living room, and I wouldn't be keeping her awake because she went back to the back bedroom, and now it's not too loud. But I'm in the hot tub, so I'll give you the splash takes, and let's get going.
Ooh, splash. Very good. Well, wherever you're all joining us from, whether it's your hot tub or your Illini man cave or wherever you may be, welcome to our first episode. I'm going to kick it off here to my co-hosts. How do you guys want to get started here today?
Should we just do a little introduction, a little reminder as to who we are, where we kind of came from, why we're big Illini fans? I guess I can start. So I am Johnny. We all went to Illinois together. I grew up a huge Illini fan. Both my parents went to Illinois. They met when they were freshmen. And I was just a massive Illini fan from about 6-7 years old. I famously made my AAM screen name Assist Boy 11 because I was so obsessed with D Brown back in the day. And I think the first time I ever cried about sports was when Matt Sylvester hit a buzzer beater 3 to make that Illini team have their first loss. And then obviously tears a few months later when we lost to UNC in the Final Four. But super excited. Then we all went to college, became friends, and we were those four kids in our frat who, instead of going to block, would go and watch the football game or watch the basketball game. And that was kind of really where our bond really began. And then now we're kind of just savants of Illini Twitter and just kind of sports obsessed.
Well, Johnny, you also you missed one. It was also missing happy hour. To go watch some recruits.
Yes, to go watch Parker Braun decline a scholarship at Illinois to go be a preferred walk-on at Missouri.
So, yeah, exactly. So you missed that one. But, yeah, I am Josh. I've been an Illini fan my whole life as well. My mom went to school, so I've been wanting to follow her footsteps my whole life. Went to school there. Obviously, we'd be all freaking friends, like Johnny said. I think I was on a plane during the national championship game in 2005. I was coming home from spring break with my family, and we would be getting updates from the pilot on the scores probably like every 5 minutes. And then we landed and we like deplaned, and instead of going to get our bags, like I just went, like I saw that thing. I forgot what bar it was in the airport, but it had the game on and we're watching the last 2 minutes. I think like for the four people that were sitting around me, I was just like, calm down, we're fine, we're still in the game, it'll happen. And then obviously sadness at the end, but that's where I was for the national championship. Sam, where were you for the national championship? You were a big Illini fan as well.
Yeah, I've been an Illini fan my entire life, minus the first 18 years. We can cut that part out. So I grew up kind of a Northwestern basketball fan, if there is such thing. Saw some thrillers in Welsh Ryan Arena, but started at Illinois in 2014, and of course shifted my fandom, and that's how we got here today. Was friends with Matt, Johnny, and Josh in college. So have, of course, been a huge Illini fan ever since. And between being a Northwestern fan before I got to Illinois and an Illinois fan now, still waiting for my team to play in their first tournament game.
We'll get there one day.
Sam, I would say your jump shot reminds me a lot of John Scherna's back in the day.
Thank you. Yeah, I did model it after him.
All right. Well, thank you, all of you. Amazing stories. I wish I could top that, but I literally can't. It was a pretty humid morning on August 30th, 2014. It was 11 a.m. start in front of a 36,234 people. Illinois football comes back against Youngstown State after going down 3-0 in the first quarter, 28-17, comeback victory. Yeah, I wasn't really an Illinois fan before that. I was like, hey, I'm going to go to U of I. And then I was like, wait a minute, I have a new team to root for now. And yeah, ever since that first game, I was hooked. I was sucked on into it, for better or for worse. And now I'm just, apparently I'm here with my friends and with Robert doing a podcast about this.
Yeah, just thinking, if we were good at football, we blow them out. Maybe you don't get sucked in. It's just, you know.
That's true. Yep.
Also, fun fact about Maddie is his freshman year, he was suite mates in Bromley Hall with a few football players on the team, Malik Turner, Jihad Ward, and Trey Watson. And it's a fun visual to think of 6'7", 290-pound Jihad Ward and Maddie standing in around 5'4" and 125 pounds and just sharing a bathroom, and they were best friends ever since.
I lived with literally the biggest man on campus, and my roommate and I were almost the smallest people on campus, and so we got along great. It was great to be roommates with them, and now, you know, a couple of them are in the league. So, you know, shout out those guys.
All right, let's talk some basketball, boys.
Yeah, let's do it.
How do we want to start? We could do a little predictions, maybe just some quick blurbs on where we kind of think we left off last year at the end of the season before we really dive in onto some, you know, over-unders, non-conference predictions, a little MTE talk.
I would say let's just talk to the source himself, the Oracle of Illini Sports. Robert, how are you feeling about this season?
Can you really hear that?
Absolutely.
I'm going to splash the entire time. It's going to be awesome. This is fantastic audio. I feel weird because since I started the blog, the first blog was 2009, I have not had a team to write about in 12 years. And so I don't think I know how to handle this. I was talking to Tyler about this the other day. Like, I don't know what, you know, I spent a lot of time like hyping some early football teams and basketball teams of like, guys, we're back. And, you know, and as the optimism was beat out of me over the last 10 years, like I feel silly when I start saying like, I think this is a legit top five team. You know, I have all these trip wires in my brain that say, stop it. Don't do that anymore. You can't say things like that. You need to be realistic. And I'm having a difficult time letting it all go. Like, you know, when you see, you know, that Big Ten media poll comes out today and, you know, 28 Big Ten media members across 14 schools pick Illinois to win the Big Ten. When you see the thing you guys tweeted on, you know, the cover of the USA Today college basketball preview has Kofi. Like, I don't know how to behave. I forgot how to behave. I don't know how to handle all this. It feels too good to be true still. Like, is this a trick? Is the season going to get canceled? Are we really going to be bad? I can't process this because my brain for the last 10 years has been in, are the 2010s worse than the 1970s mode? And so that's where I'm at. I'm still trying to process. We're writing the preview right now, and I'm still struggling to take the governor off and hit the gas and really go because it seems too good to be true.
Maddie, do you want to kind of like dissect it as you are our psychologist? Is it like, do you think he's dealing with some trust issues, or
How do we solve that? Talk to me, Maddie.
Well, I think we all, as a fan base, are dealing with trust issues, and it's interesting because Robert, at least you've seen that success as a fan who started out on that Youngstown State day.
Yep.
I've seen nothing. And so yeah, you exactly. have this eternal optimism, I think, in football, for example. And I know we're already getting away from basketball. You have this like, okay, we'll return. And to me, it's like, what do you mean return? When have we ever not been there? And for basketball, that's a very reasonable point because we have been there. And, you know, I wasn't a fan in 2005. I was in a musical the night of the game. So, you know, I wasn't a fan. But you guys know what it was like to have success. So I think I understand those trust issues that we probably are all dealing with, and we know what it's like when we have a season where it's like, this is the season. We're kind of, you know, dealing with that right now with football, where it's like, this is supposed to be the season. As it stands, we're 1-3.
Yeah, and
Can I know what musical you were in, please?
Oh, I wasn't in a musical. I was watching it. So I asked my mom, who went to U of I. She didn't raise me an Illinois fan, unfortunately. I go, Mom, where was I the night of that game? Like, why were we not watching it? She goes, oh, we were at a musical. Everyone was talking about it. Everyone was wearing their Illinois shirts. And we were at a musical, so probably Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah. I was also a psych major undergrad, so I feel somewhat qualified here to jump in. I agree with more. Maddie, sorry. I don't have like that proof of concept. I feel like the buildup last year was like, it's finally happening, and then it got pulled out from under us. What I think is so weird is like, we could have made a deep tournament run, and that would have been so validating, and it would be ridiculous to question us as a top 10 team. But also, like, if we did, I know we had a lot of close finishes. I think I saw something like we had 6 games that we won by less than 6 points in conference play last year. If we did lose early in the tournament, there's part of me that asks myself, like, would we still be here talking about this team as a top 10? It's just hard to know, I think, without that kind of proof of concept.
Here's what I say to people when they say that is like, Iowa finished season 25 and only 11-9 in the Big Ten. They're 5 preseason. We basically all brought back most of the same stuff. So it's like, you know, like every team is a bit of a paper fraud at this time of year. You know, there are people that are project, you know, Villanova struggled this and that. They're 3, all this stuff. Like, there are still teams out there, much like us, that have these huge question marks as well. And so, like, our jump from 21 to 8 isn't that crazy when you look at it. Maybe my optimism is starting to already come back. But I don't really hesitate on that. It's more like my life experience is telling me, like, oh, God, you know. You know what's going to go wrong? The season's totally going to get canceled, isn't it? It just has to. You know, it's that kind of stuff that's my trust issue.
See, Robert, I have a similar feeling in that there's some like distrust and fear in that this season is so important that we can't let it fall away. So a game like Mizzou, that maybe last year you lose that game, whatever, you kind of figure it out later. This is a season where you have to be nearly perfect, where you want to be a top 3 seed. So it's like we're looking at this Duke and Baylor, and you're like, we need to split this if we really want to be a top 2 seed, because your non-conference needs to look solid. You can't just say, oh, well, we lost the tough games like we did last year. So it's a weird feeling of knowing we have a really good team, but still being super nervous in that, like, shit, what if we lose a couple of our tough games? Are we going to get to the spot that we want to?
When was the last time we had a legitimately good non-conference season?
Definitely not Springfield.
20.
that was traumatizing.
2013, 2012, 2013, when we beat Gonzaga at Gonzaga, who was a number one seed, and they had two losses going into that season.
It's like their eighth loss all time in that building at the time. It was like 107-8 or something.
Yeah,
ridiculous
and we won Maui that year too. Right.
Yeah, we climbed all the way to number 11, I believe. But I don't think we got top 10 because I think this is the first time we've been in the top 10 since 06.
And that was something we had talked about too when we were students. So 2014 to 2018. And Josh and I also did a fifth year in the accounting program. So 2019 too. We had exactly 1 week where we were ranked in the top 25. And the
Your
one game
entire time, 1 week.
Robert, can you guess which game it was that we were?
We lost.
Hold on, I need to get this.
So okay, we started in 2014.
We started in 2014. And to further clarify, I believe the one game that we saw at the State Farm Center when we were ranked, we were kind of like a lame duck rank because we had lost earlier that week.
So we knew we were – okay. We climbed to 20 – we climbed into the polls. Let me think here. 2015? The 15-16 season? I'm going to say the 15-16 season for a week before we, like, lost to UNLV or something like that.
Okay, not quite there. I believe we lost to – I believe it was the 14-15 season where we were ranked, then lose in the ACC Big Ten Challenge to Miami. Then we're hosting American University.
Yep.
And it was a thrilling win.
I have no idea.
You know, I learned a valuable lesson that game against American University.
What was that?
I made a Twitter joke of, like, so-and-so on American is the least coordinated player I've ever seen in a basketball game. And something about, like, he looks like my accountant playing basketball or whatever. You know, just like, hey, zinger, Robert. And I heard from him and his mom the next week, searching for his name on Twitter. And his mom said something like, you know, like, hey, just remember there are families out there or whatever. And I was like, oh, damn. Like, I'm a mess. I'm never going to do that again.
We'll have the intern dig that tweet up. We'll get his name.
Okay. Yes. I'll find the tweet.
He's starting on the Rockets now, so joke's on us.
Right. Exactly.
James Harden? Is that?
I think that's him. Any other, you know, big general broad ideas we have about the team itself? You know, we're, you know, what, 10 almost single-digit days before we actually have a real game here a week from tomorrow?
I got quickly something. We kind of mentioned it just based on, like, expectations, but, like, we're kind of going – basketball, you get a little bit more leeway. Johnny was talking about it, but, like, we have the same expectations right now that we want for the season as, like, an Alabama or a Clemson fan for football. And to me, I just, like, I don't know how I feel about that. How do you guys feel about it? It's pretty crazy because, like, you can maybe lose, like, the Duke or Baylor game. You can maybe lose a game or two in Big Ten play. But, like, you have those exact same kind of feelings that they have.
Well, from an outcome perspective, yes, you want that same outcome. But a Bama fan or a Clemson fan, every, you know, July or August, they go, oh, here we go again. We're going to waltz our way into the college football playoff. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to wake up, you know, when we're going to be in the college football playoff. As we already discussed, we don't feel that way at all. We think it's going to be, you know, like, we're like, we don't actually believe that this is us. Like, pinch me. We're dreaming here. And so, yes, the expectation itself is that of, you know, an Alabama, a Clemson, where we want to win the national championship. But I think, I don't want to call them jaded, but after so many years of success, it's like they just expect to be there. And I don't think that we have, like, this, oh, we're going to wake up and, you know, we'll be playing in the Final Four and apparently Indianapolis against Gonzaga, whoever it is.
Yeah, I would liken it more to, like, an LSU or something where, this is kind of like a culmination of a few years where now we finally have this team. We're not a Bama right. or Clemson where every year we're going to be in it like Duke or something like that. But all the stars have aligned kind of because of COVID to bring back Kofi and Ayo. And we feel like this is our shot. And similar with the recruiting swings and misses, you feel like this is that opportunity. You're on the national stage and then you take advantage and kind of work through the pipeline. That's why I think people might be a little angsty over losing a guy like Ty Ty Washington or not bring in any big in-state recruits is because 05, 06 to 08, we miss all of our targets. And we didn't get to kind of have that like, okay, we had the big moment. Now we're just recruiting off of that and becoming this powerhouse.
We can go into Brad's recruiting on a different podcast or either, either later on this one. But I think we can keep the happiness still here for this year, at least keep our expectations in more of an optimistic way rather than thinking long-term. Hopefully what happens this year can make us more optimistic for the future.
Absolutely. No, I'd love to be that jaded fan where I'm like, oh, another basketball season. Let me close my eyes and wake me up when we're in the Sweet 16 here. And I can just, you know, go to sleep for non-conference and the conference games and wake up for three conference games that are, you know, against the top three teams. And but we're not there yet, unfortunately. But I think I speak for everyone when I say that we'd love to be there.
Yeah, well, I think I know what Josh is saying in that, like, there is this certain what's it like to be at the adult table kind of
thing. Right.
I'm sure, especially for you guys. Like, you know, like I was the kid on the ironing board in the hallway at Thanksgiving, you know, like, and then I finally worked my way up to the adult table later in life. And you know, it is this weird, like, hey everyone, like, you know, it's like getting invited to the big meeting with the CEO or whatever, that you're just like, gosh, I'm going to, you know, how do I act? And that, so there is that feeling of like belonging this year. And for people like me, obviously it's getting back to where we were, you know, my first 25 years as a fan, we were in the tournament 21 times. And three of the 4 years that we didn't make it were Bruce Pearl related. One, we were on probation, and two more were basically the result of us only having two scholarships for 3 years and just couldn't recruit off campus. And, you know, it's just going to kill any program. So, you know, like I know that feeling of, well, yeah, I mean, at least a five seed this year, but you guys don't. So I'm kind of curious as to how, you know, if you can find that spot in your brain of like, you know what, I need to really enjoy this because this is going to be special, or is it still too scary?
I am ready to get hurt.
I think a lot of people responded to that tweet that we put out tonight saying like, yeah, we're on a national cover, but that's not going to last that long.
No, actually, everyone, I mean, I know there's a lot, like, you know, a lot leading up to the Baylor and Duke game. Obviously, if you want to become a number one seed, those are the kinds of games you maybe have to win. But I also think, especially seeing how much we grew at the end of last season, looking back like from the Miami and Mizzou games to where we finished, there's a part of me that's like, it's okay if we don't win the Baylor game. I just want to, you know, be in it and kind of have that we'll be back for you later kind of deal when Curbelo's in the rotation, Adam Miller's in the rotation. I think just being there, knowing that we're ready to hang with anyone, for me as an Illinois fan, is honestly enough to get me really excited. Of course, I do want to win those games, but just kind of clearing that hurdle of, yeah, we're here, would probably, as for my line of fandom, be like a, whoa, let's do this as we go into conference play.
And I do think the last 10 years as an Illini fan were very sobering in that I think we do know that we need to appreciate this in ways that maybe Illini fans didn't realize in 2006 when you're in the Sweet 16. Or when you were in a top 12 team and in the second round. So when you have this kind of elongated, unsuccessful drought, you do really appreciate, wow, we're back, and you're just so ready to be invested and have those big moments again.
I like how we can talk about it like this, you know, because Georgie was like, we ain't done shit yet. You know, he said that on the radio the other day, like, hey, we can talk about it as if, like, we're going all the way, you know, as long as these guys aren't like, phew. It's a cakewalk, you know, and I think Brad's going to do a good job of realizing, like, none of you have played in the NCAA tournament in an Illinois jersey. Like, you haven't done it for a second. So it doesn't matter where these guys are ranking you, top 10, top 5, top 8, whatever it is. You know, you haven't done anything yet. And that's okay, because, you know, college kids, you know, sometimes they like to get ahead of themselves and big egos and whatnot. I'm not saying any of these guys have big egos or anything, but, you know, as recent college kids, of course, we have huge egos. And so we know what that can be like to get swept under the current like that.
All I know is that treadmill at Auburn is always a few steps away.
It's ready. It's purring. Brad's got to turn up to overdrive here for the preseason. Yeah, okay, so we're all absolutely thrilled to actually have Illinois basketball back, you know, a week away from now. And I think you guys want to talk about maybe some over-unders?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do it.
So you always hear about these over-unders, whether you gamble on them or on the radio or, you know, whatnot. But we kind of like would like to bring our own sort of over-unders here, some custom Illinois over-unders. And if you can think of, feel free to tweet them at us, you know, at Illini Board. We want to see the best over-unders. Who wants to start with a little custom Illinois preseason over-under here?
Okay. We'll start with an easy one. Trent did it last year. How many half quarters is he tossing in this year?
Hmm. What's the over-under set at?
We're doing it at a half.
Oh, a half?
Yeah. Is he hitting one?
Is he hitting one? He's good for one, but it might go after the buzzer this time.
Yeah, so if you guys just want to like tweet at us, and then we'll give you our Venmos, and we can just collect the...
Yep. Yes.
We'll work out the money on the back end.
Yeah, no. It's definitely not the most important part. Over, under a half? I think that's it's a fair number there, 0.5. Robert, what do you think?
Under.
Under? Okay.
I mean, he likes to shoot in the pregame, but like, it's a rare thing to get the opportunity to hit it.
That is true.
Like, you know, the you're getting the rebound with 3 seconds, and it's not, you know, you're not trying to get all the way there. You know, it has to be the exact scenario where he has the ball at half court. So I'm gonna take the under.
Is there anyone on our team who you think if the ball, like on a quick inbounds pass, would just like not chuck it up because they're caring about their shooting percentage? What I'm trying to say is like I feel confident that every single person on our team would probably chuck it up. Which, yes, is a good thing to have. You have unselfish players.
Yes. That seems like more of an NBA thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like chasing the contract and like, right. I don't want my 3-point percentage to dip under 34 or whatever.
Well, speaking of failed inbounds plays in general, how about, you know, we've had our struggles with inbounds plays, particularly at the end of ball games in the last couple of years. Maybe not as much once Brad got here. I can definitely think of a couple in the John Gross era, later on in the John Gross era. But what about failed inbounds plays with under a minute and a half left in the game? We've got over, under, it's set at 2.5 here. That feels like a lot, but I feel like I'll listen back to this in May and be like, wow.
We need to define steal.
What was that, Robert?
I'm saying the same thing as Josh. Is it a steal? Is it a thrown away? Is it a turnover? Is it a don't get a shot off?
It's an unforced error. It's one where you're like, really, really? It's an unforced error.
Against Maryland.
Exactly. Yep,
that's exactly what we. What
that's
we
yes, yeah. Yes. Thank you for speaking the unspoken there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maddie, you thought it was too high?
2.5 feels like a lot. You know, are they going to get at least 3? Basically, assuming you're not going to have more than 1 a game, you know, are you going to have 3 games where you're down the stretch there? You're maybe up 2, down 2, and, you know, you just throw it off of your teammate's back and it's out of bounds and it's their ball in their own half court with like 5 seconds left with a chance to win the game.
What are the parameters? It has to be last 90 seconds?
Last minute. In either half. Last minute in either half.
No, we do fail a lot. I'm going to go
so often.
This one. Yeah.
So yeah. Often.
It's a thing for us. Now, Johnny, everybody's going to hate us if this happens in, like, the tournament.
Yeah, that's true.
So, just letting you know.
So, Johnny? It's going to be close.
Yeah, I also wonder if you end up just calling a timeout because you're about to lose the clock there, is that considered a failure? I would say that's almost more of like a half or a push there. But here's what I do trust is a lot of the times it's IO is the person inbounding, and I really do trust his judgment. One person I'd be interested in too is if they end up switching up and have Curbelo be the person inbounding, really good passer. So a lot of the times the reason why you have issues with those inbounds plays is when you have a freshman Damonte Williams passing the ball in, and hopefully with a veteran team, we don't really see that.
Let's talk about Kofi here. I think he needs his own over under here. Obviously the infamous punch to the referee's head last year. So over under just 0.5 punches or strikes to an opposing referee's upper body. It's set at 0.5. Remember, he gets and ones a lot and he likes to celebrate on those. So is he accidentally going to concuss a referee and put him into concussion protocol for a game this year?
Maddie, when you were talking about you said opposing referee, so you're just talking about like when they're at Wisconsin?
Right, exactly, yes. Well done.
Aren't they always opposing referees?
Well done.
In Johnny's mind.
Yes.
I'm just going to say under just because I hope that it's under. On behalf of all referees in America, I really hope it's under, especially the Big Ten refs.
Gosh, I have forgot. I didn't think about that in the last 6 months until right now. It took me a second to remember. What game was that?
I think it was Michigan. And then, of course, you remember that, you know, we were up, I don't know, double digits with under 4 minutes. And then, I don't know, they went on what, like a 10-0 run did Michigan after that. All the momentum just got sucked out of the arena when they have to pause the game for like 15 minutes to tend to this poor referee. And then it took like an and one or something at the end to seal it. But Michigan, I think, made it like a 2-possession game or a 1-possession game after it was over. And then the energy just got sucked out of the arena after Kofi sucker punched this poor, poor Big Ten referee. You know, with like 5 minutes left.
God, I forgot about that. I was there. I shouldn't forget about that.
I remember you tweeted about it. You were like, all momentum is gone. It is over. We are going to lose the game.
Oh, me? I gave up with 5 minutes to go? Went for the worst disaster scenario? Come on. Doesn't sound like me.
I know we pulled it out, but it just sucked all of the energy out of the stadium because they needed to wait like 15 minutes to get this poor ref out of the game.
I have this thought that I need to do that every. If you remember, I did this on Saturday at Rutgers. I said like, that's it. You know, you get right down, you have goal line stand, they go down, punch it in, ball game, same old Illinois. So I think I'm just gonna mark that moment in every game, and then we're gonna come back from that one.
Did you have that at the MSU game too? I mean, obviously you went down big, but
that's a good point. That's a good question. I'm sure I did.
And just to continue the Kofi over-unders, should we just go about, since we're now in now the national spotlight, should we go national media over-under mispronouncing his last name? Let's set it at like 5.5.
Over, because we're going to be everywhere and Cockburn's going to be everywhere. It's going to be everywhere.
I just want to see a bunch of cock blocks. Okay.
I think that's an Illinois football game at 11 on a Saturday instead of block.
You guys, you're talking about coffee?
Okay, well, do we have any other over-unders? Again, if you have any, feel free to tweet them at us at the boardroom. We'd love to see your creative over-unders. I know you all can come up with some awesome ones.
I think there's an important one we haven't talked about that is over-under game winners. Let's say
a serious one.
2.5 by Io DeSunmu. I can tell you, I personally am going to have an optimistic take, which is under.
I already know why. It's because we're going to pull away.
We're winning all of our games by 10 or more this year. I remember looking at the 2005 team. One of the most ridiculous stats was, I think, 30 out of their 37 games, they won by 10 or more points. And a bunch of the other ones, it was like a 9 or an 8 sort of game. So if you can be an elite team, you don't play those crunch time minutes in the close. And that's why maybe you don't need Io to be perfect in the clutch when you don't have to be that close.
I agree with that. I think we had, you know, Io Michigan, Io Penn State, Io Wisconsin. My hope for this team is that we can not be too reliant on Io in these situations. We're not going to get the Io's not going to be deduced to the which way does 11 go right. It's going to be, he's projected by many to be one of, if not the best player in the country. So first off, having these close games down to the wire, I think a part of a big step this season will be closing those games out. And then I think a second thing will be not needing to rely on one guy to win the games.
Okay, last over under is over under 7.5 games played this year for Tevin Jones at Southern Utah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Breaking news from John Rothstein that he is immediately eligible.
On the under.
I mean, I don't know. I'll go over. I like Tevin.
When is he giving you consistency that he would play that?
Well, I saw his oven workout. In person,
the real T. Jones.
The real T. Jones.
I do remember some townies also telling me that he was way better than that THT kid who was here a few months ago.
It's a very provocative term, Johnny.
Yeah, yeah. One's got a ring.
That's Robert now.
Yeah, you guys know my THT take, right?
What is it?
I wanted to slow down our pursuit of THT because he didn't seem interested, and increase it in Tim Finke because I thought Finke was a better player.
Well, for a long time he was. He was higher. He was pretty high on the recruiting rankings, and then he just kind of fell eventually.
Yes.
Good thing we get to see how good he is coming up soon.
What do you mean?
Good point. In a week.
Oh, that's right. Revenge game for the fans.
That he literally will score 35 points against us.
Yeah, that's the Illini way. Absolutely. As THT did. Okay, so those are our over-unders. Should we close it out?
Can I throw one out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, that's our bad.
We should ask our guests. I'm sorry.
Over-under. 5'9" guard that just goes off for 36 points.
So we've had...
Setting it at 2. I'll just set it even at 2.
We've had a few historically. We had Winthrop. Yeah. We had Miami last year.
Mac McClung, Georgetown. Like
Reggie Corbin out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
They went to the same high school too.
You know, if
and there was that kid on. Hold on. I gotta come out. I'll have it. It's almost there.
We're still digging up that tweet about American.
Tennessee Martin. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you already say that?
I just said Tennessee Martin when you said it.
Tennessee Martin in 2014. That kid brought him. We were up by like 15 with 3 minutes to go, and suddenly it was a one possession game.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar. Is Tariq Cohen on A&T still? He's under 5'9".
Mm-hmm. Okay, so over-under is set at 2. Are you going over or under?
Over.
I'll go over. Eh.
Got to go under just because it's a shortened non-con, so we don't quite get the same laundry list of Western Mississippi That's State sort of teams.
That's a good point. Really, really reduces the number of guards from American University.
Schwaber, what conference is Western Mississippi State in?
Yep.
I'm just kidding.
Yep.
Yeah. Sam knows every conference.
7.
That's a good one, Robert. I think that's a really good one because we have absolutely been plagued by the short yet extremely skilled guard who goes up for 30 plus and makes an 18-point game in the second half, a 4-point game, and you're sweating it out in front of a 60% full State Farm Center in early November.
Absolute kryptonite.
So what do? If you can't beat him, you join him, you get Andres Feliz, he goes. What do? Swap him in Edgar Padilla.
Boom.
We're rolling.
You're welcome. I hope the A&T coaches are not listening because, you know, could be giving stuff away.
That's right.
All right.
Awesome. Showing our weakness.
Yeah. Should we close it out with a little fantasy talk, Josh?
Definitely. All right. So we are all Illini fans, and we're going to try to introduce it to all of Big Ten fandoms, try to find some podcasts to come with us on this. But what we're going to do is we are going to do a fantasy Big Ten type of thing. It's not fantasy like you would do on Yahoo or ESPN. It's more of one of those graphics that you see where you get like a budget of $25. You're going to pick 5 players, and those are your players for the year. We're counting rebounds, points, steals, assists, -1 for turnovers. But you get 5 players. They're all worth different values. And you only can choose 1 player per team, maximum 1 player per team. So you can't get the steal and Andre Curbelo and also have Io. But we will be tweeting out the graphic once we tweet out this podcast. And we will introduce our teams next week. And we want to see all of your guys' teams. Tweet it out. Try to get as much support for it. And the winner... Robert, I'm just saying this now. I think we discussed it.
Yep,
we're going to give you a shirt to the Illini, a free shirt from the Illini board store.
Correct.
So,
I should have played you there and just like, what?
Yeah, no, I was
Dude,
gonna,
what are you?
I,
I mean, we should have talked about this.
Two damn. Tickets to the Final Four.
Yes, exactly. Alana Bards will send you and 9 friends.
A prize pack valued at $6,000. So it's like a $6, $5, 4, 3, 2, 1 thing, Josh, right? Where you kind of pick.
I think we got $9 to $1, but yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, it's kind of like a FanDuel sort of daily fantasy structure, but for the entire season. In that you've got this auction amount of money to disperse however you like. And Josh talked about it. We are we're kind of just huge Big Ten basketball fans in general. We have 4 TVs at our apartment. So we've got every Big Ten basketball game on, and we might be some big time just basketball gamblers as well. Not big time, but just we like to watch it quite a bit.
Couple of whales over here.
This is a cry for help.
That's right.
Yeah, so the over-unders, Vegas approved. Just Venmo us. We'll come out not even.
Yes.
At worst. Awesome. So we're pretty amped about the fantasy. We're pretty amped about the podcast. We're pretty amped about Illinois basketball. We're pretty amped to win back-to-back games here for Illinois football after Nebraska win this Saturday. Basically, we're pretty amped in general. Robert, do you have any other, as our guest, any final parting words, some advice for us as we start to begin this journey for a real podcast?
Yes, I do. And this might go a little long as a closer, but that's sure. Okay. So I enjoy that you guys are doing this, and thank you for doing it.
Thank you.
I appreciate your outlook, and I'm looking forward to people getting to hear that outlook as you go along. As I say with all podcasts, it's about 5 podcasts in before people figure out what they're doing. So
good thing this is the 6th.
Yes, that's right. That's right. But I want to close with going to each one of you for a specific moment you foresee this season. I know you guys, well, maybe not Josh, but most of you are optimists. And so I want to go through you guys have never experienced moments, right? You've never had, besides maybe last year and Io hitting the shot at Wisconsin, I'm sure was this what is this feeling I'm feeling? Because you've never had that. So I want you to dream a little bit. What do you really think this team is capable of? And I'm going to start with Johnny in a minute because I know he's the eternal optimist of the group. If you let down all of what we were talking about earlier, just tell me what you really see this season.
Okay, so I have 2 answers to that in where I just imagine things. The first one is I just see us game maybe 18 of 20 of the non-conference schedule playing Iowa, winning the Big Ten championship 15 and to get your 15th win. So you're 15-3 with 2 games left. That's the moment I have is us Io hitting a big shot against Iowa and saying you guys really thought Iowa was the 5th best team in the country and not us. That's the juice that I want. And what I also envision is that rush that you have as a fan when your team is in the tournament and you get to fill out a bracket and you can kind of confidently say Illinois is going to the Final Four and it's not just rubbish. There's a legitimate chance. And that's something that we haven't been able to do that I'm super excited about doing.
Ugh. Okay, you want to know my headline for that game when we go for 15-3?
Let's hear it.
It's just Io. I had that one keyed up last year, but then it was really Kofi that won the game. So and Tyler wrote the article, so I couldn't go with it. But it's ready. It's ready. The title will be Io. Okay. All right, Josh,
I want to go. Okay. Yeah, I want to go. I want to go because I don't want anyone to steal it.
All right, Maura, you go.
Okay, so here's what I'm thinking.
So I am jealous of every school that gets their tournament moment, and it's more of their senior leader having their tournament moment or player that's no longer going to be on the team next year. So when Trent goes off, maybe it's in the second round for eight, nine threes, I'm going to be the happiest person. He stuck through everything. Mm-hmm. He committed to Gross. He's now with Underwood, and he's been here for all 4 years. I am so excited for his game. It's kind of like that Gonzaga game that never was. He's going to do it again, hopefully against Gonzaga, and just go off.
Love it. Love it. The Roger Powell in the national semifinal game, where it's like everybody else is struggling, and but oh yeah, we've got Raj, and he went off for 22.
And he's going to take a three and then dunk it off the backboard.
That's right. Good Lord, like, Trent, get up.
It couldn't I couldn't have been more jealous of the Purdue fans like 2 years ago. Like right. they had right. Carson just go off, and it was just the most frustrating thing.
Yep. And then, of course, they had one of the 10 most painful losses in NCAA tournament history.
I mean, that was the happiest, you know. But like...
Yes, yes, yes.
What a game.
Yes. Okay, who's going next, Sam right. or Matt?
Yeah, I'll go. So I think the moment where I'm like, "Ooh, this is real," would be when we're like a top, hopefully, two seed in the Big Ten tournament. Because what's the highest seed that we've been in the last, like, you know, when we were in college in the Big Ten tournament? You know, we're always playing on that first day or that second day, and you're just playing just to, like, you know, maybe get to the third day, maybe pull an upset or two or whatnot. And you're like, well, we're probably not going to make the turn. We're not going to make the tournament unless we win this thing. And we're obviously not going to win this thing. So I think actually playing in the Big Ten tournament, like on that semifinal game, you got Bill Rafferty, it's CBS, it's Saturday. It's actually you're playing for something here beyond just keeping your season going longer than one day, where you're like, okay, this is, we're actually playing like the MSUs or the Wisconsins or the Iowas, and we got the Onions going here, and it's an actual Big Ten tournament game that means something. I feel like that'll be the point where it's like, wow, like, okay, we're here, we're ready to dance. Mm-hmm. So that's what I got.
Love it. Bring it home, Sam.
I think for me, one of my favorite moments in Illinois basketball history, even though I didn't experience it live, was the Frank Williams show. Mm-hmm. I think for me it'll be the Adam Miller show, because it's like all we've heard about is I own Kofi, I own Cockburn. I'm losing it. I own Kofi. But I feel like when Adam Miller, if and when he does have that moment, that's when, with him and Trent and Demonte holding down the fort and being the four and five pieces that they are, if he can kind of have that coming out moment, it's, you go from this is just Ion Kofi to this is a legit basketball team that can give anyone a problem.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, love
what's
it.
Yours?
Yeah, Robert, let's finish it off with yours.
Okay, so this is probably the main thing you guys have never experienced, which is the down 7, 9 minutes to go. And then, like, it's not even a run. It's just a switch. And it's Miller hits a three. Trent hits a three. Kofi dunks. Ile gets a steal and a layup. And you're up four. And you're losing your mind running around your living room. Because, like, that's the key to me to a great team isn't that you're not – like, everybody's going to be down 9 at some point. Like, every – you know, 2005 team was down 9, you know, and – or that game at Michigan or whatever, they're down 7 and it's just like, what's happening? Why are they struggling? And then, you know, the switch is flipped and it goes. And I don't think you guys have ever really known. It kind of sucks that we don't have crowds this year, because being in a basketball crowd, when you go from down 9 to up 4 and they take a timeout is like, it's delirium beyond what football can provide in a single moment. I mean, maybe a punt return for a touchdown, maybe. But, like, you guys just have never experienced that kind of confidence when you're down 6 and you're not shooting well. And you can say, like, doesn't matter. Like, just watch. It's going to happen. And then, you know, you're playing Nebraska and it's tied at halftime. You're like, oh, man, what's happening? And then it's just bang, a 16-0 run kind of thing. You guys haven't really ever seen that. And I feel like you're going to see that this year. And I feel like it's going to be awesome.
See, yeah, I remember we did something like that against Wisconsin last year on the road, but that was more of like a gradual comeback as opposed to just a team imposing their will, which I think you're referring to, and just saying, yeah, this is the third game in a week on a Sunday and we're tired, but we're Illinois and we're just better than you, and all of a sudden
Yep. I always switches. Point to that Michigan game in 2005. Like, we're on the road, not playing well. It was a Sunday. It was tired. It was a Thursday night game before or whatever. And all of a sudden, like, D got two steals and two layups, and I think Luther hit a three. And he went from down six to up one in, like, 31 seconds or whatever. And, like, when I remember when D hit, like, the second of the two layups and just blew by everybody. It's like, oh, right. Right. We're freaking number one and undefeated. Like, of course this is. Like, I can just wait for this to happen every game because we are the best. You know, it's not going to be that this year. But, you know, you guys just have never known that feeling. I felt it in 87. I felt it in 89. I felt it in 98. I mean, like, I had so many moments that you guys just haven't really had yet. So I'm excited that you get to see what this is like, because I think this is that kind of team.
Chills. What a way to end it. Wow. Unbelievable. Should we get out of here, guys? All right.
I'm just excited.
Yeah, I'm absolutely excited.
I should get out of the hot tub.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm ready
to
run through
a brick wall. You stay, we'll come to you.
Yeah. I'm ready to run through a brick wall. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to our first show. We absolutely cannot wait to keep on going, to keep on plugging along here and giving you content, making you laugh, making you cry a little bit, talking a little bit of Illini sports. Yeah, but that's our show. We'll see you next time. ILL.
I and I.
I and I.